This morning we are going to be in Exodus chapter 16. So if you want to turn there as we prepare to get into this. And I know maybe this message doesn't apply to so many of you because I know none of us here today are complainers. And I can honestly tell you I never complain when I get my way, when things are going as I want them to, and nobody bothers me. I never complain during those times. But there are other times that you and I are not satisfied with the way things are going. Excuse me. We look at the Christian life, and for some reason in our mind, we thought it would be easier. We thought things would go so much smoother when I took and I just offered my life and my heart to God. Then why would it not be easier when He's the creator of the universe? He's creator of all things. He's the sustainer of all things. He is the sovereign God. And so if I give myself to Him, why can't He just make it all smooth? He could, but He chooses to love me. And He chooses for me to love Him. And so we complain when we see that non-Christian that's living that life and it seems to be going well. It seems to be like everything's falling into their lap and their life seems so luxurious. And here we are trying to follow God and it just seems like things are just falling apart from our view. Because a lot of times we're looking at the back of a puzzle. You've done puzzles and you always have to look at the colored side. But sometimes our life is like looking and making a puzzle that when it's all the brown side. And it seems so difficult because we are trying to piece things together and we don't know what the total picture looks like. We don't have the box. We didn't create the puzzle. Our job is just to do our best to put the pieces together that He gives us. Well, as we look at this passage this morning, obviously we're not the only ones that have felt this way. I'm going to read this passage, and it's a little lengthy, but I think it's something that we need to go over. So I'm going to start in verse 1 of chapter 16 in the book of Exodus. So if you'd read along with me. It says, "And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. And on the 15th day of the second month, after they departed from the land of Egypt, then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, 'Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us into the wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily.' Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, 'At evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for He hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we that you complain against us?' Also Moses said, 'This shall be seen, what the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaints, which you make against Him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord.' Then Moses spoke to Aaron, 'Say to the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for He has heard your complaints. Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. So it was that quail come up at evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. And when a layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance, as fine as the frost of the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need. One omer for each person, according to the number of persons, let every man take for those who are in his tent." Then the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. So when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. And Moses said, "Let no one leave any of it till morning." Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses. But some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them, so they gathered every morning, every man according to his need, and when the sun became hot, it melted. And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then they said to them, "This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the Sabbath, rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to keep until morning." So they laid it up till morning, and Moses commanded, and it did not stink. And where were there any worms in it? Then Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is the Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none." Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you on 6 day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out in his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day, and the house of Israel called it manna. And it was like white coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you and we thank you for the opportunity to read your word, to understand what took place so long ago. Lord, and I pray now that we would hear from you. Not from me, not from a story, but from you. God, we need you. We ask that you would speak to us. Help this become real to us today in a way that we might glorify and honor you more. In your name we pray. Amen. I never want to apologize for reading longer scriptures, because that's God's word, and it's better than anything I can say. And so I wanted to read that whole thing. But as we look at this, we see their complaint. We understand that these people that had come out of Egypt, and they were very ungrateful. They were very unworthy. They were very undeserving. And so what do? They begin to complain, and they begin to say, you know, we wish it was like it was back before, when we would sit around this pot full of meat and we could just sit there and eat meat. Because, you know, we're wandering out here in the wilderness, and the only animals we have are the ones we're trying to make to the promised land. And so we don't want to eat all of them, because then we wouldn't have any animals to replenish the promised land. And so they didn't want to eat all theirs. And so they were not even taking and eating all the meat that they had. But they were complaining, thinking, man, I remember what it was like when we used to sit around and we had meat. And I remember what it was like when we used to sit around. We had all the bread we wanted. We could eat to the full, it tells us. Man, they remembered what it was like back in Egypt where they had everything that they wanted. It was easy. It was accessible. It was right there. But they forget the fact that it was tied to slavery. Man, they complained. They were almost satisfied to go back and be tied to slavery if it meant getting what they wanted. Now today, as we look in this passage, I know there are several of us here today that we have that thought every now and then of what it was like back before I came to Christ. And maybe some are here today, I'm sure some are here today that are thinking, you know, I'm kind of in Egypt. I've kind of got everything I want. I'm satisfied with my life. And we look back at those times and we kind of remember them, and we remember them positive. We don't remember the slavery, our slavery to sin that we had back then. And maybe there are those that they don't understand, if I've got everything, what's a little slavery? Because wilderness is coming. The only freedom you will ever have in this life is in Jesus Christ. That's the only place you could have freedom. The only freedom they could have as they wandered through the wilderness was by following God. And yet they would have been satisfied to go back to slavery instead of have freedom with God. And that sounds like that would be something for us as we read the story. We understand, and that seems to sound so ridiculous. Why would anybody choose slavery just so they could have something given to them that was easy and accessible? But those people are the same as us. They complain. We complain when we don't get what we want. We complain when we've got to do things. And when I say got to do things, when it really should be we get to do things that God has called us to do. But we look at it as a hindrance. We look at it as something that hampers the lifestyle that I wish I could live. They began to complain. Here they are, unfaithful, ungrateful, undeserving people, complaining to Moses and Aaron about, you led us out here in the wilderness just to die. We could have died in Egypt. You made it so miserable for us. As I was reading a commentary this week on this passage, it said, people tend to complain to the leaders that they're following when they don't get what they want. When that leader really isn't responsible for them getting what they want. There are people that complain about the pastor. But I'm married to her, so it's okay. And so, but they complain about the pastor, and I'm not responsible for your relationship with Jesus. And let me explain that. Because yes, I am the shepherd of this congregation, as the Bible would call it. And I'm going to share with you everything I can about Jesus and about the love of God. But it's a personal relationship that you have to have. And so complaining about me, and there's plenty to complain about, that complaint, if you're not satisfied with your life, it has nothing to do with the pastor. It has nothing to do with the Sunday school teacher. It has nothing to do with anybody but you. Because if you've turned your life over to Jesus Christ, then God is responsible for your life if you will let Him be. And if you're going to complain, it's not because I studied out of Exodus today instead of Matthew. It's because you didn't hear from God when you came. And if you're going to complain like these people, the complaints didn't go to Moses and Aaron. God says four times right there, I heard their complaints. Their complaints are against me. Moses and Aaron said, we're just here to lead you. Your complaints are going to God. You know, if we stop and think about that, how much less would we complain? And I'm not saying this in any way to say, hey, I've heard complaints. I haven't. God has blessed us. But the thing is, We complain about the little things in our life that are not going the way we want them to. And when we do that, what I'm really saying is, God, I'm not satisfied with how You're delivering things in my life. God, I'm not satisfied with the way You're running things. If we think about it like that, we're going to probably do a whole lot less complaining. But you know what? These ungrateful, unfaithful, undeserving people, what does God do? He blesses them with exactly what they need. They're complaining, we don't have enough meat and we don't have all the bread we want. And so He says, hey, just let them know you're going to see the glory of the Lord. They're going to see the glory of the Lord and they're going to see a miracle from God. And they're not going to understand it, but you tell them they're going to see it. So Moses and Aaron said, hey, be ready because you're going to see the glory of God. And that night, the wind blows in quail that just covers the camp. Now, in our mind, the movies we've seen, the illustrated books we've seen, you see, you know, these birds, this quail just right around. We're talking hundreds of thousands of people that are eating. So if every person even gets a half a bird, think about how many birds are there. They are just blown in, and it's a miracle from God that this quail comes in, and so they get to sit and eat that evening. And the next morning when they wake up, there's dew all over the ground. And when the dew lifts, here's this small stuff that it's just scattered everywhere. And it's stuff they don't even know what it is. And they actually ask what it is. And the word manna, translated in Hebrew, is what is it? They didn't know. Here it was. God had shown His glory. He had brought in the quail. He brought in the dew and it left the manna. And they were able to come together and collect it. And as they collected it, it was this miraculous thing of God. And it was exactly the nutrition that they needed. These people are going to walk for 40 years. And they're going to need food for 40 years. And so as we look at this, don't miss this. Here comes this peculiar substance they've never seen before. It miraculously is there every morning. And then it's got this special life-sustaining nutrition to it. That as they walk for 40 years, it's going to give them all the nutrition they need. And the Bible tells us that when the children of Israel made it to the promised land, they had walked that long and their feet had never even got swollen. By the time I'm done up here, my feet will be swollen. So whatever was in this manna had such a nutritional value that they didn't even have their feet swell walking for 40 years. Man, He gave them something that was so different, something that was such a miracle, something that was exactly what they need, and He did it for 6 days a week for 40 years. That's long. That's lifelong. That is exactly what they needed for all the time until they crossed the Jordan River into the Promised Land. He gave them exactly what they needed. And remember, it wasn't because they were good people. It wasn't because they were faithful. It wasn't because they were honoring God. They were doing just the opposite. And God sat up there and He said, I'm going to love you anyway. I'm going to love you in such a way that I am going to look down on you and I'm going to give you grace. I'm going to give you something that you need, something that will sustain you, something that will bring you through, and you don't even deserve it. And so that's what He does. He sends manna from heaven. And you know, for us, He's done the same thing. The bread of heaven is so much better than the manna. Now the manna, like I said, it was this peculiar substance that was round and small and like frost and it tasted like wafers made of honey. And it was something that was so different to them that they didn't know what it was. Well, when Jesus Christ left heaven, came to earth, it was something that people didn't even understand. He was something like they had never seen before. They didn't even recognize who He was. It was a miraculous thing that this man has showed up every day for 6 days and then off a day and then 6 days and off a day. It was a miraculous thing that God sent from the sky. And the manna He sent us, the bread of heaven He sent us, was a miracle from the throne room of God. He sent His one and only Son to come down to be there for us. To be that life-sustaining, just like that manna was. It was the nutrition that they needed to get them through. They were not going to get through without that manna. The bread of heaven that He gave us was Jesus. And you may think you can get through without Him, but He is the only life-sustaining thing that we need. And there is nothing else out there that can sustain life but Jesus. That manna, it kept coming for 40 years. That was as long as they needed it. But you know what? The bread from heaven that I got, that you can have, that most of you do have, it's not going to end after 40 years. It's eternal. The life that He offers to us is eternal life through Jesus Christ. He is the bread of heaven. He is that miracle from God, that life-sustaining power that He has given to us, and it lasts for all eternity. He offered them grace. He offered them manna when they didn't deserve it. He offered me and you Jesus when we didn't deserve it. But you know what? Along with this blessing, along with this grace of manna that He gave them, He also said, I'm going to give you a test. Now, the test doesn't determine the blessing. He just wants to know, are you going to obey My law? Because when He offered the manna, they had it. And then He said, okay, now I'm going to give you some instructions, some limitations. I'm going to give you this blessing, but with the blessing that I'm going to give you, there are limitations and regulations and stipulations that you have to go by. If they didn't, if they collected it and tried to keep it overnight, bugs grew in it. And it began to stink. And so, He began to take that and said, hey, you better just start doing what I'm saying because it's going to do this every time. And so, they begin to obey a little bit. And so what happens? The sun comes out. When the sun comes out, it begins to melt. But yet, three verses later, he says, so take on the sixth day and go ahead and boil it. Go ahead and cook it. How does that work? That you can boil and you can cook, but yet if the sun comes out, it melts. It's a God thing. And we need to understand that the blessings of God are God things. And we need to take them with the stipulations, with the limitations that He calls us. And that is in the Bible. Now, how they acted, how they reacted to the blessing, then He gives them the instructions. And the instructions brought about good, that they had food every day, everything they needed. Or it brought about bad. It brought about problems that stunk. Well, you and I, God has given us Jesus. And the test that we have, the test of obedience, does not in any way determine if we get the blessing. Because we have been given Jesus as a free gift. But what it does do is it shows my obedience to Him. When He gives me limitations and instructions in the Bible, it's for my own good. It's so that things don't begin to grow in my life and it doesn't begin to stink. It's supposed to be what it's supposed to be. And when I start doing things that are wrong, my life begins to stink. He tells them there's instructions and limitations for your own good. He tells us that He gives us the Word of God. And if I appreciate the blessing, the gift, the grace of Jesus Christ, then out of love I should obey those instructions. And so some people say, well, you know, I've already got the gift. I can live how I want now. Well, don't expect or don't be surprised when bugs and stink start showing up in your life. Because the things that should be blessings turn to problems. Now, Jesus is still there. They still had the manna. They were still going to get the manna the next day. Because God's grace and God's mercies are new every morning. It doesn't depend on me. When I'm unfaithful, like they were, when I don't do what I'm supposed to do, God doesn't just take away my blessings and my gift. He allows me to see the stink that's there. And He's there the next morning saying, did you learn anything? Here's your manna for the day. Now, He gives them limitations and instructions, but also on top of that, there's a reason that He didn't just say, gather everything you can, and when I look down and Ken, you don't have everything you need, I'll send some more. No. He sent it down one day at a time for a reason. Because you and I have to depend on Him daily. We cannot just say, okay, I'm going to take the blessings of God and go my own way. Doesn't work that way. I depend on Him every single day for all that I need. For everything that He wants me to have, I have to depend on Him every single day. But we don't do that. We look at these things, and He tells them, I'm going to close with this. There's this manna out there for the children of Israel. It says you need to go out and gather it. There's a quota, and you need to be obedient to that quota. You're going to gather it, you're going to gather the right amount, and you're going to do it every day. Because that's what I call you to do to receive my blessings. The blessings are still there. But He said every house had to go get his own. It was a personal thing. Everyone had to get up, go out, and gather it. Yes, it was there for the gathering. But each one had to go out and gather his own, which was the amount that they call an omer, which is about 2 quarts. And so each person in the house would have to have about 2 quarts of this manna. And as they did that, it took some effort. When God calls us personally, it takes effort. It takes a response on our part. Man, I would rather it be just if somebody went and gathered it for me. You know, and then just bring it and set it on my table. You know, that type of attitude is what we sometimes as Christians have. God, just bring it all and set it right before me. But God says, no, I want effort on your part. I want response to this word on your part. And I want it daily. The children of Israel complained and desired the old life better than what God had for them. How are we? Are we still hanging on? Still want that easy stuff? We still want that accessible stuff that's just going to be handed to us. Remember, it's connected to slavery. That old lifestyle is connected to the slavery of sin. And what we have to understand is that God hears our complaints the same way He heard theirs. God offers grace daily and eternally through Jesus. But that grace is there and we have to receive it. It's just like I told the children with that basket of suckers. It's right there. He's holding the basket out. But you've got to receive it. You can't just know it's there and that's good enough. You have to receive it personally. And that's not talking about just salvation, which that's where we're at right now. We're talking about to receive salvation in Jesus Christ, you have to accept that gift, that grace. Ask for forgiveness. Turn your heart over to Him and live for Him. But as a Christian, that grace is there for you every day. Those mercies are new every morning because you're going to mess up. It may be to this extent, it may not be to this extent, but you're going to mess up. I'm going to mess up every day. But my God's grace is sufficient for the day. And it's new every morning. He hears your complaints. And that's okay. He wasn't upset with their complaints. He was upset with their disobedience. He wants us to come to Him with our problems. He wants us to come to Him when things aren't right. He is our Abba Father. He is that Father figure in heaven that loves us more than we can understand, and He wants what's best for us, which is a relationship with Him. We have to understand that we go to Him. Accept that grace. Then, out of our love for Him, we live up to those limitations. And we do it every day. Because we mess up every day. Let's pray. Father, we just come before You and we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your grace, Your mercy. God, I pray You would speak to us. I pray that our hearts would be open. I pray that we would understand what You have for us. Lord, may we seek to honor You and praise You. Lord, teach us to love You more. Teach us to obey You. Teach us to share Your love with other people. God, we want to serve You. God, I love You so much. In Your name I pray. Amen.